Though Republicans held on to their majorities in both the House and Senate yesterday, it will nonetheless be a different Congress that convenes next January. To find out how the changes on Capitol Hill might affect relations with the White House, we turn to Ron Elving and Phil Duncan of Congressional Quarterly. The first question for Ron Elving, what will it take to get Republicans and Democrats to work together?
Well, I think the first thing that needs to happen is that there needs to be at least the appearance of a rapprochement between the leaders of the House parties. That is to say, Newt Gingrich, of course, who we assume at this hour will remain as the Speaker, and Dick Gephardt, whom we assume will remain as the Democratic minority leader. They have been so estranged in the last 2 years that they have scarcely spoken. This is unusual because in the past, the Republican and Democratic leader in the House, while they are public rivals and enemies, are privately frequently communicators who even play golf together and so on. They need to get back to the old paradigm a little bit so that the lines of communication are open and that common ground can be found.
And yet, you know, you look at some of the individual changes in the Senate, and in almost every instance, the new senator is noticeably more conservative than the person that he or she replaced. I think the first instinct of some of these people in the Senate, and particularly in the House, is still going to be, we don't think Bill Clinton's got a great idea for where to take the country, and we're going to do all we can to impose our notions.
One of the things the president is obviously going to have to deal with, and judging from the list of resignations we're already seeing, it's going to have to be right away, and that's confirmations of cabinet secretaries, which will have to pass through the United States Senate, that you just pronounced more conservative than it was. What do you think?
This is a critical area for President Clinton to have any success in his second term. He has the possibility of appointing two or even three justices of the Supreme Court, which would make him the first president since Eisenhower to appoint five. If he wants them confirmed, he's either going to have to look pretty strictly for people who are centrists that he can accept, as Stephen Breyer, for example, or he's going to have to appoint former senators. And in terms of the cabinet secretary, certainly the name Sam Nunn is going to surface in the hours and days to come with respect to some of those top appointments.
Retiring senator from Georgia.
There's still no love lost among these conservative Republicans for commerce, for energy, for education. You know, filling cabinet vacancies, if they occur for those departments, are going to be opportunities for the Republicans to question again why we even have these departments. So the president's clearly going to have to get somebody who is not only politically saleable, but who is articulate enough to make a case for why the department should even continue to exist.
The budget was a very big part of the president's comeback when he stood up to the Republicans in the Congress and said, I will not sign this budget, and they shut the government down, and he still didn't back down. He's going to have a new weapon, the line item veto, in dealing with the budget in this Republican Congress and the Republican Senate. What kind of a difference do you think that'll make?
There is one school of thought that says that with the powers of the line item veto, it would not have been necessary for Bill Clinton to veto the budget last winter that led to the government shutdowns. He could have accommodated the Republican budget and its priorities simply by vetoing a few of its gaudier priorities, if you will. And then he could have said, I modified this to make it more acceptable to Americans, but I signed it because I wanted the government to remain in operation. There's another school of thought that says that this law has not really been tested, that we don't really know how well it's going to work in practice, whether or not it's going to be practicable for a president really to get into a budget in that fashion, whether or not it would be politically feasible or beneficial, and that it, in the end, will prove to be a bit of a paper tiger and won't make that much difference.
I think one thing that's safe to predict is that there will not be a government shutdown. I do believe the Republicans, no matter how conservative they are, have learned that that was not a winning strategy. And in spite of the fact they held their majorities, they were running away from that, on a dead run for several months. And that, I think, we'll not see again in this coming Congress.
We've heard a lot about how the Congress cooperated at the end, and that saved a lot of Republican seats in this election because they were able to go home with some kind of a record of having done something. President Clinton is obviously suing for peace. He's trying to ensure a somewhat more cooperative relationship between the White House and the Congress. What do you think? Do you think it's going to be peace or war?
I think that this is a partial explanation for why Haley Barbour, the chairman of the National Republican Committee, or some of the Republican senatorial leaders and House leaders were able to come out today with a kind of smile on their face and say this was a successful election, and using one of their key terms, a consolidating election for Republicans. Not a repudiation of 1994 at all, but we reelected a president who espoused values that were at least parallel to those of the new Republican majorities in the House and the Senate. And the country continues to move in the Republicans' direction, a conservative direction on most of the issues. And the evidence for that was that Bill Clinton co-opted many of those issues in order to win re-election, and the Republicans were able to hold on to the House and the Senate.
When the balance of power in the House is as close as it's going to be in this Congress, just a few seats that change hands could spell a difference. And in that kind of environment, it seems to me like there's a temptation to want to draw some pretty stark differences to try to pick up seats, whether it's Labor pushing to pick up districts they wanted to win this time and just fell short, or Republicans trying to, knock off a few more southern districts they feel they should have gotten this time. I think in that environment, there are going to be plenty of opportunities where war will break out.
Phil Duncan is the editor of Congressional Quarterly's Politics in America. Ron Elving is CQ's political editor.